We're going to start reading at verse 22. It says, now when the days of her purification, we're talking about Mary here, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him, talking about Jesus, to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And I want to stop here just for a second. I think I've said this before. I definitely was saying this to our staff. I love Luke. My son's name is Luke. But I love Luke, the writer of the gospel, because he is always, remember I said this, I think a week ago, it's debatable whether or not Acts was written, because Luke was the one who wrote Acts, and it's debatable whether he wrote Luke first or Acts first. It's still debated about that. And the truth is I love him because Luke is always putting the Holy Spirit in the passages. He just puts it in there, and I love this because he wrote Acts, which was about the book of Acts, talking about the Holy Spirit. But then he puts it in. It's like so you'll see it here as we read it. And look for those things. Don't just read to read the scriptures. Just read leisurely. Read and try to put yourself in the scriptures. And here's what it says. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Basically, he's saying, you're going to let me die in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Amen? My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, look, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, and the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew, Jesus, and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, here's a picture of, we just got through celebrating Christmas. Jesus has come, and here's a man, talking about Simeon, who was waiting to depart in peace and to die in peace because he had been promised by the Spirit of God that his eyes would see the salvation of Israel. And so what Simeon does is he's waiting. They're like, Simeon, what are you doing today? You retired? Retired. What are you doing? Waiting. The same thing I've been doing the rest of the days. I've been waiting. Why? For the consolation of Israel, consolation of the promise. I'm not going to die. I'm ready to go. He's ready to go. But at the same time, God didn't let him because he promised him that you will not die until you see the Lord's promise. And so what Simeon does is when he sees the promise, when he sees Jesus, the child, he takes him up in his arms. He embraces him, takes the child up in his arms. And he goes, now I can go in peace. Now I can die. This is it. This is what I've been waiting for. Here we go. Right now. Here we go. Here's the consolation of Israel. And I want to tell you, it's a picture of every Christian. I want you to hear this. This is a picture of every Christian. Once you embrace Jesus, now you get to die. Oh, that doesn't preach in a lot of churches, but I'm going to tell you, it's the truth. Y'all don't. You're like, that's not a New Year's message. But it is. You get to die to yourself. You get to take up your cross and you get to follow Jesus. It's a picture of every Christian. Because if anybody just says, hey, when you come to Jesus, all your problems go away, all the things go away and everything's, I'm telling you, smack them. Don't really do that. But it's not true. Yes, he is. He helps you walk through those problems. Yes, he has. He has rescued me out of some things in my life. But at the same time, I get to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and follow him. Amen? So here he is. He said, here we go. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Here we go. This is what we've been waiting for. We're going to go forward. And then Anna comes and says the same thing. She glorifies God because she sees the promise of Israel. She's like, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Now we can do and go and do what God's called us to do and be who God's called us to be because the promise is here. Here we go. Amen. And the year is here. Here we go. It's here. It's upon us. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, right? You guys know that it's the last day. It's like a waltz. Anybody know how to dance? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, just, I'm talking to white people. But anyway, the truth is, I'm just kidding. Some of y'all can dance. But the truth is that here we go. Here we go. And so some of you have had a year. Now, let's be truthful. We've had a year. Vanessa and I just got back. I don't want to go to another funeral. I have a funeral that yesterday we were going to brunch. Vanessa and I were going to brunch and got a phone call that a family member that we've been praying for that had a brain tumor passed away. And so this week I have to go and do a funeral in Arkansas. And some of you have lost loved ones and some of you have had issues and problems. And some of you have felt like, you know this is true, some of you have felt like that every time you turn around, there's been something that's going on. To be honest, some of you have felt that way. You felt like, man, God, yes, there's been good things. I praise you in the valley, praise you on the mountaintop. But there's been some things, but we can still thank God in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm, because he is the one who sustains us. He blesses us. He gives us all, as Pastor Kevin said, all good things to enjoy. But here we are. We're getting ready to go to this new year. And this is it. Just like Simeon, he's like, this is it. This is where we're going. The Lord spoke to me, as he often does, during a Cowboy game. That one last night had me taking some blood pressure medicine. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was like, are you kidding me? You know, so like, she goes, it's so fun watching the games with you. But I'm just like, I mean, just back and forth. But not this game, but a game a while ago, the Lord spoke to me about this message during the Cowboy game. And I'm going to play a video for you. And Dak Prescott, who his snap count that he has, you guys will hear it here in a minute. He says it all throughout his snap count, every snap count. For you ladies, I'm not saying all of you don't know, but it's a snap count. It's right before they hike the ball and they're getting ready to run a play. So I'm just saying, not just ladies, some of you guys don't watch football either. The truth is that, so it's a video, and then he explains why he does the snap count the way he does. So we're getting ready to play this video. I want you to watch it and see if you can find the theme that he says all throughout it. So he says, how many have heard him do that during the snap count? He goes, yeah, here we go. And here's the truth. We're getting ready to go into this new year. So my 3 points have to do with what he says. Here, you're in this location, at this place, at this juncture, at this time. And I'm not just talking about geographical, but I'm also talking about spiritual. God has you here. If you're in a building and there's a fire, you go to a place on the wall and it says you are here. You're there. You're here because you made it. And look around and say, you made it. You have actually made it. You've come through some things, but you mean so after tonight, you made it. You made this year. Some people didn't make it, but you made it. And here you go. Now I want to tell you this. The Lord wants me to tell you this. You are not the sum total of your mistakes. You are not the sum total of your mistakes because I know that God not only has destined you for this time and has brought you through for this time, but you are here because God is getting ready to take you there. And do you hear what I'm saying? God, you're ready to take you there. He's taking you to a place where he says, that's where the place that God has you in right now. It's here in this place. God is saying, look, I have you here because I'm getting ready to take you to a place that I know where you're going. Just like when Philip was like, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He goes, I'm going to the Father and I'm going to create a place in the Father for you so that you can do the things that God has called you to do. So this, here you are. And this is where he says, he goes, where I am there, you may be also. People think he's talking about heaven, but he's actually talking about in the Father. And so you're here. God is saying that you have made it here for a specific reason. Now, how do you know that you didn't get there on your own? You thought that you got there on your own? Rude awakening, you didn't. Do you know God is the one who prepares the way for us? God is the one who carries us. He moves us. He shifts us. He takes us from glory to glory. Matter of fact, he takes us from place to place. Matter of fact, when you go through the problem, he said, when you go through the flood, I'll be there. When you go through the flames, I'll be there. When you go through the storms, I'll be there right alongside with you, because he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And he goes with us. Now, here's the thing. You are here. When you're going with God, you don't want to camp out at one place. But when he moves, I want to move with him. Anybody want to move with him? Are you a move together? We'll move together. Move with him. And so here, God has you here at this place, the threshold of 24. God has you right here. But he's not going to leave you there. How many know that he didn't bring you this far to leave you? He's brought you to this place to take you over. That's what I love about the disciples in the boat. When the storm came, they were just like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. And Jesus was asleep in the boat. He's like, why would you, the promise, the person, the power, the presence is in the boat. God is like, I'm going to take a nap. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's a napping Jesus. I love that. Don't you love that? Listen, you can get over the storms that you can sleep through. This is what Bill Johnson said. The storms that you can sleep through, I'm telling you, the storms. The enemy's had some of you up all at night, having you worried and stuff, including myself. I was telling somebody the other day, when I first started this thing with being a senior pastor here at this church. I love, by the way, pastoring this church. And there were some times I had to call him dad, and I'd be like, hey, I don't know what we're going to do about this. I don't know what we're going to do. And I'm texting him this. And I'm thinking, and he's texting back, you know, the three dots that come up, the three dots. And it went for a long time. I was like, oh, he's typing something good. This is going to be something good. And then I'm like, here he goes. Bloop. Trust God. That's what he said. I thought he would be like, don't worry because God. No, he just said, trust God. So I'm going to do the three dots on you this morning. Trust the Lord. Because you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are with you. The Trinitarian Godhead, the Spirit and the power of God is on the inside of you. And if God be for you, then he's more than the world against you. And then you can go up against anybody, anything, anywhere, because God is an all-consuming fire. And his power lives on the inside of us. His Spirit lives on the inside of us. And by the way, the Bible says that it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in us and quickens our mortal body. If God be for us, some of y'all just, if God be for us, yeah. Don't say if Pastor Chris be for us, because I'll run. So, no, I'm just kidding. No, the truth is, if God be for you, who can be against you? So you're here. We is the next point. We, here's the truth. We need each other. Is that true? We need each other. The Bible says that we're a body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so because we're the body of Christ, we're connected to one another. God has placed, the Bible says in Ephesians, it talks about God has placed each one as he wills to jointly fit together. So we need each other. As we go into this year, into this new year, how many know we need each other as we go into this new year? I need you and you need me. We need each other. We need family. We're family. We're the family of God. And we, here I go. No, here we go. We're going to go together. We're going to go together as a family. We're going to go together as a body of Christ. Amen. We need each other. We had our family here this weekend, and my dad came in. We went on a hunting trip, and my dad, I'm trying to get him to hunt with us, and like, Dad, there's a bird, and hey, Dad, look, there's a bird, you know, and he's back there taking pictures. He's back there like, Dad, he's just like, y'all just stand there for a minute. Like, we are hunting, you know what I'm saying? Nobody takes pictures while we're hunting. So here's what he said. He goes, just stand there for a minute. I go, we are hunting. You know what I'm saying? Because I like the camera. You know, I was like, Dad, come on. But he just like, man, he goes, son, he goes, I'm going to tell you, I love this family. He goes, I love being here with this family. I go, well, we're trying to hunt. And the boy, he's hunting with his grandsons. He hadn't done that in a long time. And so we're all hunting together. He goes, and so I look back and I'm, you know, I just shot a bird. I look back and he's crying. Dad's back there crying. Like, well, we got to shoot it. That's what we're here for. He goes, no, I just love this family. I go, oh, my gosh. I just love being here. Like this from the same man that said to me, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. This from the same guy that said, I will take you out of this world. I brought you in and I'll take you out. This from the same man. You back here crying? He goes, I'll still take you out too. You know, I'm just kidding. And here's what he's trying to say. He goes, man, family is important. I want to tell you, if you have your family next to you, not just your biological family, but the family of God, that we're connected together. God has called us to be together. He's walking. He's with us because he's the Father. And we have the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's all about family. God has called us to walk together and be the family of God. So here, we're at this place, this juncture, this time, we together as a family go. That's what I love about this part, the go part, my 3 points. The go part has to do with what he told the disciples in Acts. He told them, go, but don't go. Don't go until you're endued with power from the Holy Spirit. Don't go. But we want to go. You told us to go into all the world and preach to God. Don't go until you are endued with power. So I'm telling you what, if you're going to go into this new year, you need to be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. I say this all the time. Some of you are like, do you need to have the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? You need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. You need the Holy Spirit to go, I hope you're not going to Target. Anyway, if you need the Holy Spirit to go anywhere, wherever it is, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Spirit of God, the power, the presence, the essence of who God the Father is. I'm telling you, we carry the presence of God with us. So here, this place, we as a family, here we go. Now is the last part, and we're going to take communion together. And it's this. Dak said, he said, the reason why I do that cadence, that call, is because I'm telling the linemen, I'm telling the guys that are playing, that's making a play, I'm telling them this. Shut off all communication. Don't, no more talking. We are running the play. Let's go. He goes, okay, here we go. That means stop talking. It's like, what do you mean? What are they talking? They're going, because the linemen are going, hey, who's got 57? Who's got, somebody got this? They're going to blitz. They have all these calls. He's like, now when I say that, you're going to cut off all communication because we are running the play. And here's what I want to tell you. If you're going to go into 24, you got to cut off all communication with the past. You got to cut off all communication with negativity. You got to cut off all communication with all with negative. I'm talking about anything that's bringing negativity and addiction and bondage in your life. It's time to cut it off. Yeah. It's time to break it off. It's time for you to let go of it and to be free and walk in the freedom of God, because he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. God has called us to walk in the freedom that he's called us to walk in. So cut off all communication with things that are in the past. And just say, I can't, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not going to live in that old ways. I'm not going to do the old things that I used to do. I'm not going to walk in the old ways. I'm walking in new, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new because I'm in Christ. Anybody in Christ this morning? Anybody in Christ this morning? Anybody in Christ this morning? I want to tell you, if you are in Christ, then the old has to pass away. Walking in the truth, walking in the light, walking in his presence, walking in the peace of God. Okay, here we go. We're going, but we're going to cut off the past. I'm not walking it anymore. Anybody, is anybody in here glad that you are not like you used to be? I am. I'm glad. Vanessa and I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling them, I'm going to divorce my husband or whatever, I'm going to divorce. And Vanessa said, it's like, why would, you guys have been married so long. Why would you divorce him when you've got him trained, when you've been with him that long? I go, that's right. Wait, what did you just say? She goes, you get him trained. I'm just a dummy, because I guess I'm trained, I'm being trained. You know, being trained. And so the truth is that you cut off. I'm telling you, God has called us to walk in this light. And the truth is that all the old things, you got to look at it and just say, that's under the blood. The blood of Jesus covers my sin, my past. And so you can't walk in it. Well, you don't know what I did. I don't need to. He does, and he's already forgiven you. He chooses not to remember those things. It's not like he has amnesia. He chooses not to remember them. Amen. And here's what I want to say to add to that. Not only do you have to shut off communication with the past, but you also have to forgive and walk in forgiveness and not be offended. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? It's true, though. It's like, you don't know what they did to me. Like we say in Free Indeed, Dad and I say this all the time. Because you wake up in the morning going, I just want to forgive everyone. Is that true? No, you want to kill them. I imagine them walking in front of a banana truck. You know what I'm saying? Go back and start watching Roadrunner and Coyote videos, you know, whatever, Acme Bricks falling. You know what I'm saying? That's where my mind goes. Anyway, cartoons. Anyway, the truth is that you don't wake up in the morning and want to forgive them. You want to kill them. But the truth is that that's not who you are. That's not who you are in Christ. So you have lived to be unoffended, walking and while not walking in offense, because there's reason to be offended. You'll probably have a reason to be offended before you walk out of here. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying there's a reason to be offended. There's offense everywhere. Jesus said offenses must come. Yeah. And so if you got to be a place where you're not offended. It is true. Some of you are looking at me crazy. I'm telling you, it's the truth. You go walk in a place where you're not offended. I'm talking to myself too. Because there's times, I remember the first time Dad was telling me, he goes, I told him I was mad at somebody and whatever. And he goes, well, we're going to forgive him. I was like, you go forgive him. I'm not going to forgive nobody. He goes, I'm not getting off the phone until we forgive. We're going to do it right now. And so I was like, what do you mean? I go, the sun is still up. The Bible says don't let the sun go down in your anger. It's still up. We still got about 4 hours. I just want be mad for just a little bit longer. You know, just be mad for just a little bit longer. He goes, we're going to forgive him right now. We're going to get off. I'm not getting off this phone until you forgive. I go, I want to. He goes, this is what he said. He goes, Chris, this is the basic hinge of our faith. This, if we can't forgive, then what are we here for? I was like, okay, let's go ahead and forgive. But the truth is that some of you are holding on. And the reason why I'm saying is some of you are holding on to people, holding on to organizations, holding on to things that God never intended for you to hold on to. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to let go of going into this new year? Speaking of, there's a book that I have bought for all of my staff. It's called Unoffendable. Now, why would I have to buy this for all our staff? Because they work for me. Kevin said he's halfway through it. And as he said, I'm chalked all in here. I'm all in here. I'm everywhere in here. The book had to do with being unoffendable. We actually got it from David Moore. But at the same time, it's a book just talking about being unoffendable. And Vanessa and I were saying this one day after we got done having dinner with mom and dad. We go, one day we're going to be like them. Because Terry said, he's just like, I choose not to be offended. I'm not going to be offended. He goes, I choose not. He's like, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you not walk in offense? How do you do that? Here's the truth. Because the one who took the offense died on the cross for us. And he lives in us. And you're able to forgive and let go of people simply because the one who has forgiven you lives on the inside of you. You're going to have to let him go. Here's a question. What feels good about holding on to unforgiveness? What feels good about that? You're saying nothing, but it's truth. Why do we do it, though? Why do we hold on to unforgiveness? Simply because there's a sense of that nature that is in us that's trying to die, that wants to be offended. But you're not the victim. You're the victor. You're more than conqueror through Christ Jesus, more than a conqueror. And so the truth is that it's time to let go. Time to let go of bitterness. Time to let go of unforgiveness. Time to let go of pride. Because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And just let it go. Just let them go. Let them go. Because if you hold on to that unforgiveness, if you hold on to that bitterness, if you hold on to it, it's like you drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Nothing good can come of it. So you let them go. It's like, well, I don't let them go. I don't want to let them go. You let them go. Forgive them simply because it's not even for them. It's for you. Yes. Dr. Rutland told me one time, he said, I was telling him about some stuff, things that are going on. He goes, Chris, you got to learn to let some stuff go. He goes, you take that stuff to bed with you, you're going to find yourself sleeping on the couch. They said, oh, you go with all those problems, all those thoughts, all those bitterness, all those things, problems. You got to learn to give it to the Lord. Hand them over to the Lord. Let them go. Let him go. I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to you this morning to watch it online. Let him go. Last thing I'm going to say is we haven't had a chance to do it anymore this past year, but I would take the kids tubing on our boat, and we would, you know, as a dad, I would sling them off. I mean, I'm telling you, I love that. I mean, the faster I go, I'd sling them. I'm talking about I try to send them to heaven. I mean, I'm going to send you to see the maker, you know what I'm saying? And but sometimes the tube would catch air and it would flip over and they would still hold on to it, being drug under the water. And so they were like, Dad, they go, you were dragging me under the water and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, ha ha. I didn't really do that. But I said to them, I said, hey, just let it go. Let it go. You got a vest on. You're going to float. Let it go. And guess what? As you let it go, Dad's going to come back around and pick you up. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come back and get you. But let it go. What are you holding on to that's keeping you from going into this next year with everything that God has for you? Amen. What is it? God, only Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves you so much that he'll reveal to you what it is. We're getting ready to take communion. Guys, before you do, we're going to take communion together. The earlier this morning when my daughter was worshiping, I'm telling you what, as a father, it's a big deal. I was crying, you know, because I come in sometimes and I hear her worshiping and my heart just goes, I melt, you know. I come in going, you need to clean your room. Oh, that's so great. So I think she does it for that, you know, so that I will come in and get on. But the truth is that that same little girl, my daughter, is the same one that Vanessa, I told Vanessa, we are not having any more kids. After Luke, I was like, we are done. Not having any more kids. She goes, okay. She goes, I heard the Lord tell me we were supposed to have four. I was like, not with me. Not having four with me. She said, okay. She said, all right. She goes, I'll just give it to the Lord. I go, give it to him. Give it to him. You know, like, I'm not having no more kids. She's not going to have. So she was up in New Hampshire visiting her parents, and the Lord spoke to me. In August, I remember when it was a preseason Cowboy game. I had just finished painting the living room, and I sat down in the chair right before the Cowboy game came on. The Lord spoke to me and said, you are going to have another child, and you need to call her right now, because I promised her she was going to have four, and you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. I called her crying, the Lord spoke to me, you need to get home, you know what I'm saying? And so... And the truth is that I can't imagine my life without Braden, because God's promises are yes and amen. Yeah. We were getting ready to go on a ride one time, and I was holding on to the bar. We were going on a ride over in the theme parks, and I didn't know that black knuckles could turn white. I didn't know I could turn white. I was holding on to the bar. I turned white right there. That's true. It turned. I mean, and so she goes, Dad. She goes, Dad, no, you're supposed to put your hands up like this. I go, you put your hands up like that. I'm not doing that. You know, I was like, I'm big. I fall out of here. I'm going straight to heaven. I'm going straight to heaven. No. She goes, no, Dad, throw your hands up. I go, no, I'm not throwing my hands up. And she goes, this is what you're supposed to do. She goes, don't hold on so tight. And I'm telling you this morning, God says, throw your hands in the air and don't hold on so tight. Let the Holy Spirit take you where he wants to take you.